Good morning. Today's Daf Yevamos Chav Tes. We're on Chav Chesamad Beis, and we're just up to the Mishnah, but not yet. We have a little bit more to get to the Mishnah, which we're going to do right now, and then we're going to start a new Mishnah. Okay, yesterday's Daf Chav Chesamad Beis, so we did the following. We took our Mishnah, meaning the first Mishnah of the third parak of the Masechta, Arba Achin, the four brothers, two of them married two sisters, the two brothers died, two sisters now are falling for Yibum to two brothers. So, in theory, one could do the mitzvah of Yibum to one, the other can do the mitzvah to Yibum to the other, but you can't do that because of the Yisr Vachotzu Kukasa, meaning that Zika creates a bond. This is one way to explain the Mishnah. There are a couple ways to explain the Mishnah, but this is the first presentation of the Mishnah according to the Gemara going all the way back to Chavav. So, one is Mezukakas to, each of the brothers has a Zika to both. And that Zika now is what's called Achotzu Kukaso. That Zika is like a bond. It's like a marital bond. It's a quasi-marriage. And therefore, you are quasi-married to two sisters. So now what are you going to do? You're going to just advance the marriage one step further? You can't. In other words, you're marrying your quote-unquote, your sister's wife. Your wife's sister, whatever. So you can't do it. So what are you going to have to do? And meanwhile, it doesn't remove the Zika. So in other words, there's an Isser Achot Zikuka, and perhaps, by the way, this is where things get a little bit complicated, because Achot Zikuka prevents you from marrying her, but at the same time, you're still bonded to her. So therefore, the only solution is you have to do Chalitza. You have to do Chalitza to both. Each of the brothers are going to have to do Chalitza to both. Okay? That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. And admittedly, that already is a complicated scenario. Now, we're going to add to that. We're just going to keep adding to the complication. We're going to add to that. Now, what did we learn together? We learned together that in that scenario where, let's say, for example, of the two sisters, one's an erva to one of the brothers and the other's an erva to the other brothers. So is that possible? Absolutely, it's possible, right? It's complicated, but it's possible. How one could be an erva to one and the other one could be an erva to the other. As a simple example, so let's say, for example, that one of the brothers married his niece and the other brother married his niece. And the two nieces are sisters to one another. How can they be sisters to one another and not be related to both of the fathers? So we went over this as well, meaning you can get to such a scenario. You can't get to it through marriage, but you can get to such a scenario. So now, in the event that the two brothers die, now these two women now are presented to their yavams. One is a daughter to one, the other is a daughter to the other. So now you have a perfect scenario. Because obviously now the one who's a daughter to one, there's no Zika in such a scenario. There's no Zika in such a case. And as a result of that, consequently, he's totally allowed to marry the other one. Because the other one's not Achot Zikuka, because there's no Zika. Okay, there's no Zika with an Erva. Good, that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. That is, I would say, pretty straightforward. Although admittedly, it's a little bit complicated. And then yesterday, what did we do? We went over the statement of Rabbi Chiya. It's Rabbi Chiya, it's Rabbi Yehuda Merav. And that is in this construct of 4 and 2, where we said that the two brothers are married to the two sisters, and one is an erva to one of the yavams, and the other is an erva to the other yavam. So that could be created in any one of the 15 cases mentioned in the first Mishnah. In the first Mishnah, the Masechta, the Bezim and Aleph, so we went over 15 arayos, where the Yavama who falls to the Yavam is an erva to the Yavam in one of 15 different ways. So what do we learn? We learned that because she's an erva to the Yavam, again, outside, of course, of Eshesach, that's the mitzvah of Yibum, but any one of the other arayos that are mentioned over there. So we could take any one of those scenarios and plug it in to this case over here. So we can have the sisters being an erva, one to one of the Yavams, the other to the other Yavam, in any one of the 15 permutations. Now, is that going to be difficult? Sure, it's going to be difficult. If you want to go back and go over exactly how this is going to occur, so you go to Rashi and Daf Testament Beis. Rashi, the mammoth Rashi and Daf Testament Beis, actually holds our hand and walks us through how each one of these scenarios would play out, how it would work out. Good. So that is what we did yesterday. Meanwhile, after that, Rabbi Chiya made the pronouncement that you can plug in any one of the 15 cases of the Mishnah Daf Beis. So then the Amoraim stepped in, and the Amoraim said, I'm not sure about all 15 cases. So first we saw yesterday the Shita Rav Yehuda, knock out the first six. Why? Because the first six are all different scenarios of Bito. There's no way to arrive at Bito other than each of the brothers violating a woman. Okay, each of the brothers violating a woman. Then what happens is that these two, the same woman, then these two sisters are going to go ahead and marry one of the other two brothers, and that's how you get to that case. But you can't do it via Ishus. Now, why can't you do it via Ishus? As I explained already yesterday. You can't do it via Ishus simply because what's going to happen? One of the brothers marries a woman, he divorces her. Now what? The other brother can marry her? Of course the other brother can't marry her. That's Hachos Gerusha. That's Eishas Gerusha. It's his brother's wife. So it's Eishas Ach. He can't marry her. So it can only be done through Anusa. It can't be done through Nisuin. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, knock out the first six because they're all different subcategories of Bita. Then we had the opinion of Abaye. Now, in other words, keep those six cases in, but we're going to have to knock out Eishas Ach Shelo Haya Bo Lama because it only works according to Rabbi Shimon, and the Mishnah would choose not to get involved in a machlokas. Okay, now, the Rav Safra, and this is where we got to yesterday, and this is where we're going to pick it up today, and I feel a little bit bad because the beginning of today's daf, we are really going to go into the weeds of Yevamos over here as we're going to try to now speak out. How could it work? Meaning, what would be a case in which I can have four brothers, two sisters. Two of the brothers are marrying two sisters. Those two sisters now are going to present Yibum. The two brothers died. Those two sisters now are going to present a Yavama to the two surviving brothers. And one is going to be, okay, pay careful attention. This is so hard. One of them is going to be Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Bo Lama to one of the surviving brothers. And the other one's going to be Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Bo Lama to the other surviving brother. Okay, that's what we're looking for. That's the case. Rav Safra, Mitargei Maaf, Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Bo Lama. So we're on Chav Chesem and Beis, and we're halfway down in the Amud. It's about 5-6 lines before the Mishnah. So, Mishkachala, you're going to have the case. B'shisa Achev Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. So, in order to get to this case, so you're going to have to start off with six brothers. Okay, so there is a case. So you start off with six brothers. Now, V'simancha. And here's what's happening. In other words, we're just simply going to go through what exactly happened. Mace, Nola V'yaba. So, brother number one died. Then a new brother is born, and Viyabam. And then one of the surviving brothers, obviously one of the brothers who lived with the original brother, is now going to perform Yibam on this woman. Okay. So now this woman, vis-a-vis the brother who was just born, so this woman now is going to be Eshesach V'shalal Yabalamo. Because remember, and we've gone over this before in the Masechta, according to Rabbi Shimon, Eshesach V'shalal Yabalamo by definition means that the brother has to be born before any of the other brothers did Yibam. Because if the brother was born after Yibam, so then what is this woman to this brother? In other words, it's just simply his not the original brother's wife, but the Yavam's brother, the Yavam's brother. In other words, because he was born after Yibam was done, and once Yibam is done, so that's it. In other words, it's a brand new marriage. So according to Rabbi Shimon, Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Bo Lama is only when he was born before Yibam. Okay, we had a lengthy discussion about this very point earlier in the second perek, but that was our conclusion. Now, you have one brother set up as Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Bo Lama to one woman. Now what you'll do is, well, let's just do this one more time. Meis Nola V'yabam. So, you're going to just go one more round of this, where another brother dies. You'll have a birth of another brother just being born into the family. And then another surviving brother will have performed the mitzvah of Yibam. So in this scenario over here, starting with six brothers, two of them dying, and then each of the new brothers being born immediately after the death of the previous brother, before Yibam was accomplished. So now we can have a scenario where I'll have two brothers who are Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Bo Lama to only one of the Yavamas. Okay. Now again, I know that's confusing. I know it's complicated, but it works. But it only works according to Rabbi Shimon. So Reuven v'Shimon Nisuin Sheyachai. So Gemara here just spells it out. One of those instances in Yavamas where the Gemara actually holds our hand and walks us through the case. Reuven v'Shimon Nisuin Sheyachai. So Reuven and Shimon are married to two women. Levi v'Yehuda Nisuin Shtei Nachrios. Levi and Yehuda are married to two women. Nachrios just simply means they're not related. And Umeis Reuven Nolad Yisachar V'Yabam Levi. So now, Reuven dies. Yisachar does Yibum. Now, mind you, by the way, Yisachar also has another wife as well, which is important for reasons which we're going to articulate. And Levi does now, Meis Reuven no lo Yisachar v'yamam Levi. So Levi now is going to do the mitzvah of Yibum, and Yisachar was born in the interim. In other words, before Levi did Yibum. Now Meis Shimon dies no lo Zvulun, Zvulun now is born v'yabam Yehuda, and Yehuda now does Yibum. So now, if you're following Levi and Yehuda now have done Yibum, and they're also married to another woman as well. Now, Mesu Levi Yehuda below Banim. So here we are. Levi and Yehuda now have died. And they've died now with no children. So, Vinafla Lehu Kam Yisachar V'Zvulun. And they fell to Yisachar and Zvulun. Now, here we are. Hasur Lezem, Uteros Lezem, Hasur Lezem, Uteros Lezem, Vachosa Shi Yevimto. Vachosa Shi Yevimto. So here we are. So now we are at a case where we have Esh Yisachar Shalal Yabalama. We have it vis-a-vis the two now surviving brothers. This is now brothers numbers 5 and 6. The two surviving brothers who are Esh Yisachar Shalal Yabalama to only one of these women. So again, Esh Yisachar Shalal Yabalama. So what do we learn in the beginning of the Masechta? That's an erva shalal b'makom mitzvah. And so therefore, in erva shalal b'makom mitzvah, there's simply no zika. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. In other words, she's an erva. So that woman's an erva to you. So what does that make her sister? Her sister now is totally and perfectly available to you. Okay, good. And conversely, same thing would be true for the other brother as well. Okay, and now that we're here, and mind you, by the way, and here's the critical point of the whole Gemara. This case only works according to Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't work according to the Chachamim. Now, just if I could speak this out for just a moment. Why doesn't it work according to the Chachamim? Because according to the Chachamim, Eish Yisachar Shalal Yabalamo, so you go over her history, according to the Chachamim. That means to say that from any brother that's born after Reuven has died is going to be considered a brother of Reuven. Let's say Yibum was performed already, don't matter. Meaning according to the Chachamim, this woman was the wife of Reuven. Any subsequent brother that's born into the family is going to be viewed as a brother of Reuven. Again, Reuven died already, but in other words, vis-a-vis this woman was the widow of Reuven. That means that according to the Chachamim, all future brothers that are born are considered Esh Yisachar Shalal Yabalama to this woman. According to the Chachamim, I'm never going to get a case where I can have one being Esh Yisachar Shalal Yabalama to one of the brothers, but not the other brother. Meaning on both sides, on both of the surviving brothers. That's why the case would only work according to Rabbi Shimon, not according to the Chachamim. Okay, now that we're here, Gemara just has a couple of specific points. Lama li Yibam Yehuda below Yibam Yehuda nami mishkach l'mishim tzara. Sorry, that's already the answer. Okay. Just wait 1 second. So the Gemara now wants to know. So why do I need 6 brothers? Meaning, can't I do this now with 5 brothers? Meaning, we could just simply have one of the brothers having married her. In other words, this would work presumably even if one of the brothers didn't do the mitzvah of Yibum with her. So the Gemara says Mishum Tzara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember though, we're trying to plug it into the first Mishnah. And what do we learn in the first Mishnah? Not only are the ervas going to be pater, but they're going to be poter, even the co-wives as well. Well, the only way we're going to get to a co-wife is if each of the brothers, I'm talking now about brothers 3 and 4, if each of the brothers perform the mitzvah of Yibum, so that now we are set up for both the erva and the co-wife of the erva as well. So that's why I need brothers 3 and 4, so that we can have erva and sarah. So the Gemara says, ha-tenech sarah, sarah did sarah ma'ikla me'mar. So the Gemara says, really? So you want to fit it into that first Mishnah? Well, remember the first Mishnah? Not only did we have Tzara, but we have Tzara de Tzara, right? So let's say the co-wife goes ahead and marries another one of the brothers. So then that she's also now going to have the status of being an Erva, meaning not only is the Tzara of an Erva going to be an Erva, but the Tzara of a Tzara also is going to be an Erva. The derivatives keep going. So the Gemara says, that's true, but we'll just simply add another pair of brothers as well. Meaning instead of 6 brothers, we'll have 8 brothers. And it could work out. Meaning, so this case would work out not only the case of Tzara, but Tzara did Tzara as well. Okay. It's a tough way to start the daf. I perfectly admit that's a really difficult way to start a daf off in Yevamos, but Point of all this being is that we now have successfully gone over a case where I can have the first mishnah of the third perek fit in to all 15 cases of the first mishnah of the first perek, even Eishes Achiv Shelah Yabo Lamo, but it only works according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't work according to the Chachamim. Good. That was our first part of today. Let's continue now with the next mishnah. Alan, I'm sorry, you had a question? I tell you what, it's already complicated enough as it is. Let's not add another variable in there. It's only gonna make it more complicated. Thank you. All right, we're gonna go on. Thank you. Shlosha achin shnayim mehem nesum shtei achayos. O isha bita. O isha bas bita. O isha ubas bina. So three brothers. Two of them are married to sisters, or it doesn't matter. In other words, sisters, mother, daughter. Okay, it doesn't matter. And which at this point in time, perfectly legitimate. In other words, you can have two brothers marrying two sisters. In fact, in our very own community, one of the brothers live here. But in other words, I'm sure you know we're brothers married sisters. So anyway, shlosha achim shnayim mehem nesum shtei achayos, o isha bita, o isha bas bita, o isha bas bina, hari elu cholzos v'lo misyavmos. So the Mishnah tells us that under those circumstances, now chalitza. Okay, and again, in other words, the two brothers die, so you have chalitza. Now, this is a point that we've already covered before, meaning we're just introducing ourselves to it's not our first introduction, to the idea of achuz ukukaso, meaning at the death of these two brothers now, you have these two sisters presented to the single surviving brother, and under those circumstances, you can't do the mitzvah of yibum because of achuz ukukaso. But the achuz ukukaso doesn't remove the zika, and therefore your chalitza has to be done. Okay. I know it sounds funny, but at this point in time in the Masechta, that's basic.
It's not an erba.
Huh?
If it was an erba, then it would eliminate.
Correct. Very good. Now, here, Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says, no need for chalitza. Now, this position, Rabbi Shimon, we saw earlier in the Masechta. We saw it back on Daf Yutes, but here now we're going to be focusing on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon happens to be of the position that when you have sisters who end up becoming yuvamas, so Rabbi Shimon says that there is no zika whatsoever. Okay. Now this is not the accepted position. This is the shita of Rabbi Shimon, just Rabbi Shimon. But nevertheless, that's the shita. Now, ha'isa achas mehem asura alav iser erva. So let's say now of these sisters, one of them is an erva to you. Again, there's one surviving brother. One of them is an erva to you. So asura ba mutar b'achosa. So you're allowed to marry her. You're asked to her, you're allowed to marry the sister. Once again, because now at this point in time, there's only one Zika that's being presented to you. So with one Zika presented to you, she has a sister, her sister was married to your brother, that's true, but she's also an erva to you. Therefore, she presents no Zika. Because she presents no Zika, so therefore you're allowed to marry the one remaining Zika. Good. Isser mitzvah, isser kedusha, cholesef v'lomis yabemis. Now, if it's an isser mitzvah or isser kedusha, meaning, let's say one of the women are prohibited to you through either an iser lav or an iser derabanan. So now cholzos v'lo misyavmos. So now you have to do chalitza, you can't do yibum. Okay, for reasons which we're about to articulate. Tanya, the Gemara here quotes the Brayso, Rabbi Shimon Poter b'shtei min chalitza min yibum. Shenem ravi shalach cholzos lo sikach litzor b'shach shenasu tzar zulazu lo yelach halikuchen afila b'achas mehem. Rabbi Shimon has a drasha. Right, we went over this drasha earlier in the Masechta. It's simply a drasha where what do the Chachamim do with this pasuk we discussed already earlier in the Masechta? But meanwhile, the drasha tells us that according to Rabbi Shimon, when you have sisters who also become now sister-in-laws, i.e., they married two brothers and now they present for the mitzvah of Yibum, the two of them. So now that's it. In other words, there's no longer a zika. Okay. Now. So the Gemara says, now, if one of them is an erva, so the Gemara says, now, at this point in time, we've seen this so many times, this idea expressed so many times, in the beginning of the third parak, even in the second parak, on Daf Chaf, we saw this idea expressed. So we saw it on Chaf, we saw it on Chaf Vav, and now today's Daf, Chaf Tes, I know it's Chaf Ches, but now we're seeing it again, and the Gemara says, at this point in time, why do I need it? So the Rabbi Shimon Itzterech. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I need it. To the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Because you have to think about Rabbi Shimon Shita. Now, this part, admittedly, by the way, it's a small piece of Gemara between here and the next Mishnah, but it's a little bit complicated. Because what we have to do right now is we all have to shift our thinking. Meaning we have to now think about the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Again, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but we have to think about the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, what happens when two sisters present themselves for Yibum to one man? So, nothing. Meaning, when I say nothing, meaning there's no Zika whatsoever. They go free. That's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, if one of them is an erva to you, So I might have thought that, look, that according to Rabbi Shimon, when I have two sistersthere's there's no chalitza, no, there's no yibum, but maybe a gzera should be made. Why? Because there could be a circumstance where there would be yibum chalitza in the event that one of them is an erva to you. So the for another reason, for whatever other reason, one of the sisters is a mother-in-law to you, whatever the reason may be, if one of them is an erva to you, there would be chalitza, there would be yibum. The only time that Rabbi Shimon says that we don't require chalitza, we don't require yibum, is when the two sisters present themselves to you and neither of them are an erva to you. So I might have thought that for Rabbi Shimon, at least we should make some sort of gzera. Kamash Malan. The chiddush is no. That according to Rabbi Shimon, no such gzera is made. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Now, if one of them is an Isra Mitzvah or an Isra Derabanan, right? An Isra Mitzvah, an Isra Kedusha, and in other words, again, a Lava or a Derabanan, so then you're going to have to do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, really? Now Rabbi Shimon says, now when two sisters present themselves to you, you need nothing. Lo Chosos v'lo Misyavmos. So now, just because one of them also has an additional feature of being either a Lava or a Derabanan, now Chalitza is required. So the Gemara says, yeah, Gzira Mishum Isra Mitzvah Da'alma. So the Gemara says, yeah, because we're worried. Meaning the Chachamim inserted Gzira over here. Because consider, right, let's consider. You have two sisters. I know this case will happen rarely, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. But for our purposes right now, it doesn't matter. Let's consider. You have two sisters being presented to the oven, okay? And according to Rabbi Shimon, if there's no other consideration, okay. Two sisters presented to the oven, they go free. Why? Again, drasha. Good. Now, if one of them is either a lav or a issa derabanan. So now, let's say, according to Rabbi Shimon, what happens? Same thing, right? Why not? Meaning, they both have a zika, they are both sisters, we have a drasha, okay, they should just simply go free. But if one of them is a lav, or if one of them is an issa derabanan, and now people are watching what's going on. Oh, I see. So two sisters, one of them is a lav, and one of them is an issa derabanan. So what people are not going to understand is, why did they just go free? People will think, in other words, and as Rashi points out over here, not everyone's familiar with Rabbi Shimon and the drasha. People will think, do you know why she went free? Because of the lav, because of the Issur Derabbanan. That's why that's why they went free. Now, of course, the problem is, it's simply not true. Meaning, as we already established earlier in the Masechta, on Dav Chaf, if all that's prohibiting her to you, her the Yavama, to you the Yavam, if all that's prohibiting her to you is just a lav, or an Issur Derabbanan, that doesn't knock out the Zika. In fact, in principle, you could do the Mitzvah Vibum. As we already discussed back on Daf Chaf extensively, we don't say Esse Dochalos Asse, but for a lot of reasons, or a lot of proposed reasons. Ultimately, we were worried about the Bia Rishona, Atu Bia Shnia. Okay, but anyway. But in other words, but the Zika is still there. The point is that the Zika is still there. And people, when they see this case study, they're going to look at this case study and they're going to say, oh, she went free because of the Lav. She went free because of the Issur Derabbanan. Not realizing, not recognizing that's not why she went free. She went free because of this, I'm saying this in context, of this quirky sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that two sisters that are presented to you simply go free. But once you add another variable, like a Lav, like a Derabbanan, people don't understand, and people will walk away thinking, oh, Lav Derabbanan, that's the reason why they went free. So the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara says, good. So I understand that gzera should be made for the woman who's a laver de rabbanan. But what about the other one? So the Gemara says gzera chosim mishum lasa didam. So the way Rashi explains it over here, bad mazel, meaning you're right. There is no reason per se that the gzera should be going on the other sister, but lasa didam, or as Rashi's explanation, mazel didam, it's just her mazel that she's in that position where she's now both sister and sister-in-laws and being presented to a yavam. V'hagabi erva lo gazrinan. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So I'm trying to get this straight. So if there is a lav or a derabbanan prohibiting one of the sisters to the yavam, so what are we going to do? We're going to legislate chalitza. Is chalitza required? No. But we're going to legislate chalitza. So the Gemara says, so if one of them is an irva to the Yavam, so what do we say? No gzera. Why no gzera over there? So the Gemara says, Shani irva de migmar gemira la inche v'kala islay. No, because if one of them is an irva to the Yavam, well, that people know about. Meaning, we don't have to worry about people walking away with erroneous perceptions, misconceptions regarding the case of the irva. People know about Arias.
Is
it
Chalitza P'sula?
Huh?
Is it Chalitza
P'sula? Why? Because he can't do Yibum. Because he can't do Yibum. Maybe. Not sure. Okay. All right. The Adkan that takes us to the end of our first discussion of today's daf. So once again, the case of the three brothers to whom they're marrying two sisters. So again, the Shita of the Chachamim, which is the accepted halacha, which is the one you walk away with from today in terms of like, what is the, what would be the practice under such a scenario? Again, these scenarios are really unlikely, but what would be? So then what would be now is that you have the two sisters presenting, meaning the brothers died, the two sisters now being presented to the one surviving brother. So what is the halacha? The halacha is that they both have a zika to this man. Ah, but they both have a zika to the man. Ah, but he can't marry either one of them because each one of them represents achuzukukaso. So therefore, he's going to have to do chalitza to each one of them. Okay, good. That's the conclusion. However, what we spent time doing this morning is we spent time talking about the Shita Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says that you have sisters who present to a yavam, so he has a drasha. The drasha is that under those circumstances, there is no, there's no zika whatsoever, right? The zika just simply dissipates. It goes away. Why? He has a drasha that arrives at that conclusion. And then the Gemara wants to know, what if one of them was a lav? What if one of them is an erva? How does that change? How does that affect? According to the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Good. And the Gemara discussed, when were the Chachamim make a zera, and when would they not make a zera? All right, that's our first discussion of this morning. Second discussion, Shlosha Achim, we're on Chav Tetzamad Aleph, three brothers, Shnaim Nesu and Shtei Achayos, Ve'achad Mufna. So two of them are married to two sisters, and one of them is a Mufna. And one of them is just simply available. Now, for our purposes over here, he didn't need to be available. In other words, he didn't need to be single. Okay, but... okay. The Meis Echad Mibayla Echayis V'asaba Mufna Maimer. Okay, so over here now, so here we are with a new case. I say new case. It's not... It's the same basic construct, but we're going to be focusing on one aspect. So one of the sisters becomes presented to him, and now he does a step in the Yibum process. He does what's called Mimer. So for the rest of today, we're going to be focusing on Mimer. So let's try to wrap our heads around what Mimer is. Mimer is a rabbinic legislation that was incorporated into the Yibum procedure. And we've done this before, but it's fine. In other words, we're really going to be focusing on Mimer for the rest of today's daf. So let's really get our heads around what it is. Meaning, in a standard marriage that's done between a man and a woman, so there are two steps to the marriage. There's what's called Kiddushin, otherwise known as Erusin, and then there's Nisuin. And those two stages of marriage is how a man goes ahead and marries a woman. Now, the step of Kiddushin, an entire Masechta dedicated to this topic, Kiddushin is not engagement, the way we use the word engagement. We use the word engagement just simply is that we are going to get married. Kiddushin is we are married. It's the first stage of marriage, but we are married. Now, after Kiddushin, so they're in this really awkward stage of marriage. In other words, they're married to one another. They're not living together. He's not financially responsible for her until you get to the point of Nisuin. In the days of old, Nisuin occurred a year later. right? The first Mishnah in Ksuvos talks about how the expectation is that a year after Kedushin, so then you're going to go ahead and you're going to marry her. Okay. And so, but nevertheless, after Kedushin is done, you're married. You are fully married to this woman. In other words, if she sleeps with another man, that's called adultery. If you want to break the relationship, you need to give her a get. You're married after Kedushin. Okay. Now, when we talk about Yibum, so is there Kedushin min HaTorah? No. In other words, what happens min HaTorah is that Rachmanus, the woman now is a widow, and now the next step is going to be if the Yibum wants to perform the mitzvah of Yibum, so he's just simply with her. He's intimate with her. And now they are husband and wife. And there's no first stage of marriage. There's no Kedushin. What the Chachamim did is they said, you know what? We would like to try to model the standard marriage of a husband and wife and put that into Yevamos. And that's called Maimer. So Maimer is a rabbinic legislation, a rabbinic institution inserted into the Yibum process where now the man performs Maimer. Now the actual performance of Maimer later in the Masechta, we'll talk about exactly what's done. But the man performs Maimer and now she is to him his ma'amaro. Okay. Funny, this morning in the, so there were a couple of chavrusas occurring here in this room, and both of them were doing Maimer. One of them was learning Yevamos, and that would be me and my chavrusa, and the other one was a group of Lubavitchers learning the Maimer of the Rebbe. So it's two Maimers going on this morning right here in this room, and not exactly the same, but still, Torah. Huh?
The other brothers can't do it.
Oh, good. That's going to be today's daf's discussion. That's excellent. Okay, perfect. You are literally on point in terms of where we're headed in today's daf. Good. So now Maimer's been done. Now, the rest of today's daf, what we're going to try to wrap our heads around, and it's not going to be easy, is that what did Maimer accomplish? Okay, good. That's going to be the discussion behind today's daf. In our Mishnah, and keep in mind, by the way, just one other point before we go on, and that is that Maimer is a rabbinic institution. So as much as we're going to be discussing what Maimer can accomplish, meaning can Maimer actually create a bona fide marriage between you and the Yavama, meaning as far as the Torah is concerned, that mitzvah can only be done through Bia. Okay, so it definitely is going to... It's going to stretch our limits in terms of understanding, like what, how much the Chachamim can come in, and really institute within the mitzvah.
Maimer is basically a declaration of intent.
It is a declaration of intent, but it has legal ramifications. Correct.
It's formalizing your permissibility.
Correct. But it also has legal ramifications, which is what the Gemara is going to discuss. Correct. So I'm going to start again at the beginning of the Mishnah. So one of the brothers dies. And I say, there are three brothers. So when I say one of them, specifically one of them who was married to one of the sisters. Now, so the single brother now, and I'm going to just add a little bit of narration, just so we can, you know, see it clearly. So the single brother says to the other brother, look, you're already married. I'm not married. So it would make more sense for me to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, I understand there are other considerations as well. In other words, maybe turn to the oldest first. But be it as it is, that's what we're discussing right now. Where the single brother performed the Maimer, obviously with the declaration of intent that he's going to marry this woman. Good. And now the second brother died, married to the other sister. So now, look at it from the standpoint of the Mufna, the single brother, where now he is partially married to one woman, and he has a Zika to the other woman. So he has Zika and Maimer to one woman, and when I say woman, sister, Zika and Maimer to one sister, and now Zika to the other sister.
Zika plus.
Right, so. So Beishame's position is, you know what your Maimer did? So your Maimer was a blocker. Okay. I was struggling today whether or not I was going to go with the football analogy or the drug analogy in terms of a blocker. Okay. Either one works, it doesn't matter. Anyway, Maimer serves as a blocker. In other words, what it's able to accomplish, according to Beit Shammai, is that it's able to fend off any other Zika. And so now, your Zika now fortified with a mimer is now going to make it so that if another Zika comes in, so that other Zika now gets blocked. And so now, obviously, you can finish and perform the mitzvah of Yibum. You see, if the Zika did penetrate, so now what's going to happen? Now you have Achazuku Koso. So Bei Shammai's position, a fascinating position, is that Mimer is able to go ahead and to block other Zikas. And Beis Hillel says, here's the unfortunate conclusion of this story. And that is that he's going to have to disengage from both women. Now, from the woman that he did Mimer, he's going to have to do Chalitza and Get. Meaning, there's a Zika, but he also did Mimer. And we'll talk more about this later in the Masechta, that once he did Mimer, so the way to release from Mimer is going to have to be through a Get. So for her, she's going to need both Get and Chalitza. Now, for the other sister who only has a Zika, so you're going to have to do Chalitza. And Zui Sha'amru, and here now, in other words, it is an unfortunate conclusion. And the Gemara is not going to be unemotional about it. Meaning, obviously, we are learning halacha. And halacha sometimes arrives at these conclusions, but woe to his wife and woe to Eishes Achiv, his brother's wife as well. Meaning, this is a really unfortunate situation. Now, by the way, normally, in other words, we've been discussing death since the beginning of the Masechta. And now, all of a sudden, we're showing a little bit of emotion. Because in this particular scenario, did he do anything wrong? No, he did nothing wrong. In other words, what he did was textbook, meaning what he did was perfectly good. Every step along the way was legitimate. And again, just simply because of the way it laid out, so now the halacha is going to have a really unfortunate conclusion in which he's going to have to disengage from both of the women. For the mimer, Get and Chalitza. For the non-mimer sister, just Chalitza.
Okay. Even if there was no mimer, he'd still have to disengage.
Of course. But over here, just it's a little bit more tragic simply because he clearly wanted to marry that woman. Wait, just one second, one step at a time. Okay, he showed a clear intent, but still, in other words, he didn't marry her yet, and so therefore, achazuk kukaso. Meaning, according to Beis Hillel, when all said and done, you're now looking at achazuk kukaso with the extra complication of Mimer, but Mimer didn't change the nature of the Zika. It's still a Zika and a Zika. Yeah. Alan?
But Shammai says...
Yeah, good. Yeah, correct.
We hold by
Hillel. Always. Always with exception, but always. Okay. Now, Zui Lamute Mai. Lamute Hachta Rabbi Shua, Dolo Abdin and Kavasei, El Iker Rabbi Gamliel, Iker Rabbi Elazar. Okay, the first line of the Gemara over here. So it is based on positions that we haven't seen yet in the Masechta. Let's wait. It's the fifth parak. It's later down the road. So I will kick this Gemara down the road when we get to the Shitas of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar. So we will see what our Mishnah was coming to preclude ourselves from. Let's just move on. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Tema Maimer LeBeis Shammai Kona Kinyan Gamar Di Bai Lafuke Sagalei Begita. Okay, now. What the Gemara now is going to be doing now for the rest of today's daf is analysis of Beis Shammai. Okay. And like Alan just said, let's not all get confused. Meaning we don't possibly like Beis Shammai, but as far as clarification of the Shita Beis Shammai, it is Talmud Torah. We are engaged in the study of Torah. And so for the next 15 minutes, even less, 10, for the 10 remaining minutes that we have in today's daf, as we are going to be exploring and trying to wrap our heads around the Shita Beis Shammai, we are accomplishing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not the halacha. It's not the halachic conclusion. But still. So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Lazar lo tema maimer la Beis Shammai. I'm reading it again. According to Rebbe Lazar. So maimer for Beis Shammai kone kinyan gamor. Don't say that it creates a full kinyan. The ibai la fukisagale begita. Where if you wanted to disengage, you just simply give her a get. No. But ela, maimer la Beis Shammai no kone ela l'tchos betzara bavad. The only thing that it does is that it blocks. It blocks other Zikas from coming in. Now, I know I said that in the Mishnah, but it's a little bit unfair. In other words, I had the unfair advantage of knowing the Gemara, and basically that's how I presented in the Mishnah. Meaning, what I should have done, I'm not sure if that's true, but in the Mishnah when first reading Beis Shammai, I should have said, you know what Maimer does for Beis Shammai? Ah, you're married. No. Rabbi Lazar says that's not the correct pshat. The correct pshat in Beis Shammai is not that you're married, but rather it's still a Zika, and it's just a Zika, but it's a Zika that's protected. A protected Zika. So that in the event that another Zika comes in, it blocks other Zikas. I'm Rabbi Avin Anami Tanina. So Rabbi Avin says, look, I'm going to go back to an earlier Mishnah, and I'm going to show you that this is in fact the correct pshat within Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai Omi Mikaimu. Because I'm going to go back now to what we learned earlier in this parak, back in the beginning of the third parak, where you had the four brothers, two sisters, and two of the brothers married the two sisters, and those two brothers died, and those two sisters present themselves to the two surviving brothers. Now, what do you do? Chalitza. What if they marry? So, remember, machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, Beis Hillel says, Yotziu. And Beis Shammai says, Yikaimu. They get to sustain. Yikaimu in lechatchila lo. So, that's only bidyevet, post facto. But not lechatchila. Now, the Gemara entertains, as we're now on the top of Chavtes Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, I got this great idea. And that is for these two surviving brothers. Why doesn't one do Mimer to one and the other one do Mimer to the other? Yeah? And now, so why do we have to only say bidyevet post facto if they marry them? No, I have a method in which they can lichatchila marry the two sisters. One do Mimer, which creates a Zika, a blocked Zika, with her, exclusive now to her, and the other one does mimer to the other. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. That would be a mimer de iser, meaning that case over there is not comparable to our case over here at all. Because over there, when the two sisters are presented to the two surviving brothers. So now you're looking at Achuz Zekukaso. You want to do a Mimer at that point in time? In other words, that would be Be'isser. Are you in a position where you could do Yibam right now? No. So your Mimer now is an illegitimate Mimer. Or the Gemara's language is Mimer de Isura. So Mimer de Isura, that's not going to block. Over here, when my Mufna, when my single brother did Mimer to the first widow, perfectly Mutter. Mutter and, right, that's what you're supposed to do. So, hachinam and maimer, afilaman darma, maimer kona, kinyan gamur, maimer deheteri kani, disur lo kani. So the Gemara says, so, I could make the same point over here. Meaning, even if I were to go so far as to say that according to Beis Shammai, maimer is kona, which we're not saying, but even if I were to say that, so what I would say is, yeah, maimer is kona, but only maimer deheter, not maimer disur. So from the first Mishnah, you really cannot litigate what's Beis Shammai's position regarding Mimer? Is Mimer Doche? Is Mimer Kona? Right now, the first Mishnah in of itself is not going to be grounds for really understanding the Shita of Beis Shammai. Okay, so where do we stand right now? Rav Elazar's contemplation, definition of Mimer for Beis Shammai. Mimer for Beis Shammai is that, do you know what Mimer accomplishes? Not that it makes you a husband and wife, but what it does is just simply fortifies the Zika, makes it impenetrable so that if another Zika comes in, it doesn't interfere. And if that other Zika happens to have been a sister, doesn't interfere. That's all it accomplishes. But what it does not do, it does not create ishus, it does not create a marital bond, an extramarital bond between you and the Yavama. It's not a Kenyan. Rav Ashi Masni Hachi. Rav Ashi says it a little bit differently. So Amar of Elazar v'Sarasa, I'm sorry, Amar of Elazar lo tema ma'amar le Beis Shammai dachi dechia gemura v'Sarasa chalitza nami lo baye. So don't tell me that according to Beis Shammai, it would be doche dechia gemura, and the co-wife would require would not even require chalitza. Ela doche meshayer hu. What it does is that doche meshayer the Amr pushes off, but it still leaves some. I'll explain that better in just a moment. Amr Rabbi Avinah Fanami Tanina Beis Shammai Omri Mikaimu. Once again, what the Gemara is going to do is that it's going to go back to that first Mishnah. Yikaimu in lechatchila lo. Isagdacha maimer lebeish hamidocha dechia gemura. So if you think that what it does is that it makes full blocking impenetrable zika, zeyasa maimer v'yidcha v'zeyasa maimer v'yidcha. So then each one of the brothers, of the surviving brothers, that first Mishnah, should do maimer. And that would solve the problem. Ve'ela ha'katani b'shamay omrim ishto imo v'lazu teitze mishum achos isha. So the, but meanwhile, Beishame says, your wife is with you, and this one goes out, Mishum Achos Ishta. Ela Yevama, Dechazia Lekula Chazia Lemiksasa. Yevama, Delo Chazia Lekula, Lo Chazia Lemiksasa. So the Gemara says, again, not comparable. Meaning, in the first Mishnah, when we talked about your inability to marry her Lechatchila, that's because right now, you're looking at Achos Ekukaso. Could you have done Yibam at that point in time? The answer is no. So when you do Mimer, so it's just simply not going to have any effect. Over here, were you able, in our case over here, three brothers, two married to two sisters, one dies. At that point in time, freeze frame that moment, could you do Yibum? 100%. So can you do Mimer? Yes. And not only can you do Mimer, but your Mimer is going to be effective. In other words, it'll create a Kinyan. Now again, the degree of the Kinyan, that's what we're litigating right now. But it will create a Kinyan. So the Gemara says, Mimer, let me just read that again. Ela Yavama de Chazi Lekula Chazi Lemiksasa. So when you have a Yavama where I could have gone, where you could have done Yibom with her, so then you could even do Miksas Yibom. Miksas Yibom meaning Mimer. But Yavama de Lo Chazi Lekula, but if I can't do Yibom, Lo Chazi Lemiksasa. You can't do Mimer with her, meaning the Mimer would have no legal significance. So don't bring in that first Mishnah, because that first Mishnah you couldn't do Yibom. Therefore, the Mimer is going to have no significance. Okay. Adkan, we really should have gone to the end of the Amud today, but okay, we didn't. Anyway, we're going to pause over here. Let's quickly recap our daf. And we'll pick it up from the middle of Bayi Rabbah. Okay. And once again, more exploration. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Number one, three topics to summarize. One is the statement to Rabbi Chiya of yesterday's daf, where the first Mishnah of the third Perek, four brothers, two sisters, where the two brothers die, who are married to the two sisters now fall to Yibam, to the two surviving brothers. If one of them is an erva to one and the other is an erva to the other, so now each of the brothers could do mitzvah of Yibam with the non-erva. The erva case could be any one of the 15 cases of the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Even Eshet Achiv Shelah Yabo Lama. But that only works according to Rabbi Shimon. And what we tried to do, it was a bit of a struggle, what we tried to do is plug in how it would work according to Rabbi Shimon. It works. It's just complicated, but it works. That was number one. Number two is that we went over the Mishnah teaching us again that if two sisters fall to a surviving brother, meaning they were married to two brothers, the two brothers die, there's one surviving brother. So now these two sisters are Achos Ekukaso. What can the one surviving brother do? Only one thing and one thing only, and that is chalitza to both of them. Why? Because Achos Ekukaso, which on one hand prohibits him from marrying each one of them, on the other hand does not remove the zika, and therefore you do the he has to do chalitza to the two of them. And then in that Mishnah, why are we learning that? Because there's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Shitas Rabbi Shimon is that when two sisters are being presented for Yibam, meaning they are zukuka zulazu, so according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no chalitza, meaning as a drasha. It's just simply because the Torah says so, so there's mamish, there's nothing. There's no chalitza, there's no yibam, there's no zika. Okay, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Good, that's what. And then a number of considerations regarding Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Shimon would make a gzera in such a scenario, meaning you add another variable. One of them is a derabbanan, one of them is an isser, one of them is an irva to the surviving brother. When does Rabbi Shimon make a gzera? When does he not make a gzera? That is, that was number two. And then finally, number three. Number three is the extent, the limits of Mimer. In other words, we already discussed Mimer being a rabbinic institution in the world of Yibam, so that Yibam take more of a marriage look to it, where there would be a stage one, stage two, Mimer being stage one. Ben said it beautifully this morning. It is a letter of intent, right? It's a declaration of intent. I want to marry that one. But it has legal ramifications. How much legal ramifications does it have? So Beit Shammai says a lot, but that obviously is imprecise. And in the Mishnah, so Ishto Imo, his wife is with him. That's the language of the Mishnah. Va'alazu, and let's say there's another Zika that comes in, and that other Zika happens to be a sister. that don't matter. According to Beis Shammai, Ishto Imo, Valuzu Tetzim Mishum Achos Ishto. His wife now is with him. He did Maimer with him. That's his wife. And the other one, no. Now, what does Beis Shammai mean? So right now, we started off our discussion this morning with what does Beis Shammai mean? And right now, what we have in front of us is that what Beis Shammai means is that it's not that you're married to her. It's that what Maimer does is it fortifies the Zika so that if another Zika attempts to come in, it will block it. But that's it. In other words, it does not make a kinyan. It just creates dechia. It just blocks other Zikas.